Hi, everybody. I'm Brian, Professor B. Davis, and welcome to another edition of the USF Dunn's Weekly Magazine Podcast Roundtable. As we're looking back, we're going to have a great show for you for this one, this episode. We'll recap of that series, weekend series sweep versus the St. Mary's Gales last weekend on the Hilltop, including that 10-9 emotional win, which we seen. I saw a lot of things, in that contest, and if you were not there on the Hilltop, especially on Sunday afternoon, you missed out on a treat. And the fans got their money's worth. We've seen everything from the phantom call at home plate when Robert Emery made the tag on the runner and looked like it was an out. They claimed it was an home plate umpire claimed it was an interference, and they rewarded the run. And then, which led to an ejection for Nito Giratano. The fans were in it throughout the entire 12 innings, and that was a big win for the Dons. They sweeping that big game, three-game series. We're going to kick off the show with the weekend review with Zach Zangler, our USF resident of our analytics. That's going to be segment number one. Segment two will be Coach G's recap of this three-game weekend series and preview the important series against the Pacific Tigers as the Dons resume play in West Coast Conference play on this very short week. They'll take on the Pacific Tigers for a three-game week for Easter week series that will be on Thursday and Friday night at 6 p.m., Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m., and the games will be also be seen on the W.TV, and also we'll be doing the audio cast again on the Arena Sportsnet Bay Area. That will be for the Thursday night game, as yours truly will be doing the play-by-play in action. We will go on the air at approximately 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, with the condensed pregame show will be at 5:45, the video version. You can catch that on Dons TV at facebook.com/DonsTV Network. We'll give you that pregame show before we go on the air for Dons Baseball. And then in our third segment, we'll have around what's going on around the West Coast Conference, some very important games coming up, and also an update on the division of the college baseball's top 25 from division or D1Baseball.com. And then finally, in our fourth and final segment, an interview with a lot of you know her on the Hilltop as the baseball mom, Deb Peralta, who is now in her 16th season here on the Hilltop. She's also the aunt of former USF Dons catcher and pitcher Danny Morales, who played here on the Hilltop from 2004 through 2007. He was a member of that 2006 West Coast Conference championship team, and as the team made their help, it was a key to the Dons advancing to their first ever NCAA regional appearance, and they got that and had a large bid in 2006. We'll have that. We'll talk with Deb Peralta about the Autism Awareness Day. We would have done the we talked about that on previously on a Tuesday when the Dons played the Nevada Wolfpack from their midweek non-conference game. We'll talk about the Autism Awareness Day, and we'll also have our final thoughts coming down the stretch. Final thoughts before this podcast concludes this today or tonight. Coming up next, we'll be recapping. We'll have enjoy the podcast, everybody. I'm Brian Professor B. Davis. You're listening to the Dons Weekly Podcast on anchor.fm/ASN Bay Area.
Parkingfly has provided more than 50 years of convenient, hassle-free airport parking. Visit PNF.com for discounts on airport parking outside of San Francisco and Oakland Bay Area. That's PNF.com for Parkingfly. Dons fans, want free checking account that pays you? Provident Credit Union Super Reward Checking Account pays you over 2% interest and features no annual fees. Visit ProvidentCheckingUnion.com. That's ProvidentCheckingUnion.com for more details.
Well, we're back here on the USF Dons Weekly Magazine Podcast Show here on anchor.fm/ASN Bay Area. And we're talking with Zach Zangler, our analytics resident. We're going to recap that series versus the St. Mary's Gales over the weekend. Don's sweeping a three-game series over the Gales, their first series sweep over them since 2007, some 12 years ago. So what are your thoughts about the weekend series?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Brian. Sweep's a sweep. Obviously there's always areas the club can improve upon. I think it was a little bit of a things were pretty slow offensively on Friday, but we were able to scratch away enough runs. I think Sunday was a roller coaster game. But there were also some good things about Sunday. Some guys competing in their bats, the team staying resilient. We had great pitching performances all around again during the weekend. We had Riley O'Neill, Scotty Parker bringing great starts, and then Alex Pham was able to eat up innings on both Saturday and Sunday, which was very impressive. And I think something that's cool, Brian, we've been monitoring this, is that if you look at every week, and not to say you want to pick one guy, but you look at a guy that kind of springs onto the scene, it's a different guy every week. If, for instance, Jack Winkler was the guy, not to say that, like, some guys aren't performing or anything, but you can just tell. You can see it in the numbers, and then you can see it during the game when guys sort of get to that next level. If it was Jack Winkler in the first few weeks, and then it was Jonathan Allen the weeks after that, and then Riley Helland gets hot, and now Tylerville Roman's done a phenomenal job on the base pass. And
exactly, yeah.
He's done a phenomenal job on the base pass. He's been a great glove for us out in center. Seems like he's starting to bring it around with the bat, too. Looking forward to seeing who it's going to be this week.
And they're going to have a tough task because the Dons will be facing the Pacific Tigers and their guy Ryan Shreve threw a no-hitter on Sunday. They completed a three-game series sweep over the Santa Clara Broncos, the second time in 2 weeks that the Broncos were swept at Schott Stadium. And they got some guys who could throw the ball, though. And this is a very important series for them because, you know, if they were able to, you know, realistically, you know, of course we want the Dons to win, but, you know, the realistic prospect, though, a series win for them, and that puts them right into the crowded West Coast Conference race for the top four teams, of course, trying to get into the Bear Island Park come late May.
Oh, yeah. That club has had their ups and downs throughout the season, but, you know, like you said, the no-hitter against Santa Clara, they got players over there. Catcher jumped out to me. I'm blanking on his name right now. He's racked up a few accolades, but, you know, they're going to come to play. It's in their yard. I hear it's supposed to be a warm weekend this weekend, so, you know, being in Stockton, it's going to be a little bit toasty maybe. Not like hot, but just since we're coming out of the spring, or we're in spring, we're coming out of winter, and things are starting to warm up a little bit. Might be a little bit warmer in Stockton, but kind of like what we've talked about before, being able to score runs in different ways, whether it's hit the long one, manufacture three singles, don't make any base running mistakes, take the extra bag when you can take it. If you can spread yourself out with respect to scoring runs, should be pretty well off, and then playing clean defensive baseball like always.
And that's going to be a place the Dons have never won a series there over there, a full series there. It's the first time in a while that they are playing three games there over there in Stockton. You know, this is the sixth year Pacific has been in the West Coast Conference since leaving the Big West Conference. And they're, of course, coached by former Stanford star, former Giant, Ryan Garko.
Yeah, I think that's exciting for them to have a manager of that kind of a name. Kind of like what I was talking about before, they're going to come ready to play. The club has improved throughout the years. They're there, but at the same time, we're confident that if we do the things that we need to do, if we can score runs in a diverse fashion, if we can throw it well, not shoot ourselves in the foot on defense, I think one thing that's turning out to be more and more important in these close games, B, is how you run the bases. And I'm not talking about just making base running mistakes. I'm talking about getting the extra base. That's
being
why
you're like the great line by Bill Walsh back in the day. He told his players, like, beating your man to the punch, like he used the old Marvin Hagler terminology.
Yeah. But, like, you know, for example, in Friday's game, it was Friday because I remember I was talking to Tyler about it Saturday morning. You know, he was in the game-winning inning, so I think it was bottom of the ninth, or it might have been extras. He steals second base. The ball is put into play at shortstop. The ball gets by the shortstop. Tyler makes the read to, without hesitation, make to third base. The difference between getting being on third base and being on second base with one out, being on third base, there's just so many more ways to score a run than being on second base. So taking the extra bag whenever you can, generating some pretty serious alpha on the base pass, there's some room for run generation there.
Yeah, also, you know, finally, you know, now Dons are on the road after a 9-game homestand, and they're in this also in this last leg, the sixth time in as many weeks, in the last 7 weeks that they're within either in the Bay Area at home or within playing in the Bay Area or within 100 miles within the Bay Area Raiders. And now they have this road trip, and then they'll play Gonzaga next week, and that's going to be, you know, a lot of baseball left. They took a series against Portland, and then coming up, a lot of games coming up this weekend. It's going to be in the coming weeks. We know probably by, hopefully in 2 weeks' time, that we'll have a full, like I said, have a full clear picture where this team is going to be. And I'm very, I think this team is coming together. And one more thing. What were your thoughts of the fans on Sunday, though?
Yeah, it got pretty crazy there in the later innings, but it was a lively atmosphere at the yard. We had a phenomenal day for Autism Awareness Day, the boy's name was David, throughout the first pitch. It was a great day at the yard, great weekend. I mean, like you've talked about, whenever the travel is short, especially St. Mary's and USF, since they're both in the Bay Area region.
Same thing like Santa Clara as well. And you could even say Pacific, though, as well, even though they're in Stockton.
Right.
Because it's not that far from Hayward either.
Right. It makes for a good atmosphere. And I think Jack was talking about it. Somebody talked to him about it. He says it's great when the fans are there till the end. They're loud. Yeah, it's a fun environment to play in. That's for sure.
All right, Z. That's it for now. And thank you for being on again. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds like a plan, Brian. Looking forward to it.
Okay, that's Zach Zangler, our USF Dons analytics resident. And thank you. I'm Brian, Professor B. Davis. You're listening to the USF Dons Weekly Magazine Podcast on anchor.fm/ASN Bay Area. We'll be right back.
Fans, be sure to stop by the USF bookstore to get all your favorite Dons gear. Wear your green and gold with pride and visit the USF bookstore this week. The USF Dons bookstore on campus is open daily, Monday through Thursday from 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m., Fridays 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., closed on Sundays. Dons fans, skip the hassle getting from the Benedetti Diamond and the Sobrato Center. Lyft is our official ride-sharing partner and has your transportation covered. Download the Lyft app and get affordable ride in minutes. New users get $10 off in ride credit shares with the code GOUSFDONS. Use Lyft. proud partner of the USF Dons. As we continue here on the Dons Weekly Podcast Magazine Show on anchor.fm/ASN Bay Area, as we continue on, we'll take a look at what's going on around the recap of the week it was, where the USF Dons end up winning, completing a series sweep over the St. Mary's Gales in West Coast Conference play. It was a big week series as well. On Friday, they beat the Gales 2-0 behind another good outing by Riley Ornito. And in the second game of the three-game series, it was on Saturday, the Dons end up winning 4-2 as Scott Parker went 5 3rd innings, giving up one earned run on with one walk. He had only three strikeouts in the contest. But then on Sunday, probably a lot of fans still talking about that game, the Dons winning 9-10 in 12 innings. The Dons had once had a lead. It was up 5-4. They come back and score three times to take a 9-6 lead. As they were trailed 6-5, they scored four times to be exact. And then only for the Gales to score three in the top half of the ninth inning. But then it stayed like that way till the bottom of the 12th inning, where Tyler Villaroman was at first base with one out, when Jack Winkler, who ended up having a great day at the plate, Winkler, of course, in the contest went 3-6 at the plate. He came up with this big clutch hit.
Fly ball right center. Ball's got some carry. This ball is up and off the screen. Around third. Here comes Villaroman. No throw. Ball game. And the Dons win in a walk-off. 10-9 on a double off the right center wall by Jack Winkler. What a blast.
That was Pat Olson on the call on the W.TV. As the Dons winning it 10-9 in 12 innings, you look at some of the numbers in the game. Alex Pham, who pitched four innings in relief, giving up no runs, no hits, walking only one with five strikeouts in that contest. He got the win in relief. His record improves to 3-1. Also in the contest, Tyler Villaroman had a great, phenomenal day. 4-6 at the plate. He had an RBI score three times, including the game-winning run. Also, Riley Helen, he is starting to swing a hot bat. Went a perfect 4-4 at the plate with four hits, four RBIs, and scored once in the contest. And also, Jonathan Allen contributed with an RBI as well. RJ Cordero also hit a home run. He went 2 and also scored twice in the contest. He ended up going 1-3 in the ball game. So with the Dons' win, they improved their record to 10-5. Right now, they sit in a three-way tie, I should say, for second place in the West Coast Conference. And there are 21-15 overall as we're doing this taping. Let's check around what's going on around the West Coast Conference standings as we begin of this short week as we're beginning the week of April the 18th as we're doing this taping. In the West Coast Conference standings, Loyola Marymount owns 11-4 record. They're 23-13 overall. They own a one-game lead over BYU, San Francisco, and Gonzaga. Gonzaga winning a series against the Portland Pilots last weekend. Then it's still scattered. Pepperdine is 8-7. St. Mary's is 6-6. San Diego 7-8. They're four back. San Diego and Pacific are tied for seventh. They right now would be three games out of the fourth and final spot in the West Coast Conference tournament standings for the West Coast Conference. And then rounding it up, the Portland Pilots, they're 2-13, and St. Mary's is 1-11. They're 8.5 games out. Of course, they were no hit last Sunday against the Pacific Tigers' Ryan Shreve, who tossed a no-hitter in a 1-0 game last Sunday down at Schott Stadium. As for the second time in 2 weeks, the Pacific Tigers sweeping the Santa Clara Broncos were swept at home at Schott Stadium for the second time in the last 2 weeks, and the Tigers had handed the Broncos their 11th loss in the last 12 games in conference play. They sit dead last, 1-11 in the WCC and 7-27 overall. Now let's look into a preview of this series as the Dons will be taking on the Santa Clara, or I should say the Pacific Tigers. It will be, if you look at some of the notes of the game will be at Klein Family Field Thursday and Friday at 6 p.m. Remember, it's a Thursday in series, begin on Thursday because of the Easter week. Thursday and Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. at Klein Family Field up in Stockton. And the game will be seen on the W.TV. We will give you the Thursday night audio cast of the Dons, of the USF Dons and the Pacific Tigers app at Klein Family Field. I'll be giving you the play-by-play for Thursday night at 6 p.m. The broadcast time will begin at around 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which preceded by the video version of the USF Dons pregame show with Nino Giratano. That will be on Dons TV. Facebook.com/DonsTV Network is the website to catch the video version of the pregame show. So looking at the numbers as we look in towards the Dons taking on the Pacific Tigers, and they are not chopped liver at all, as the Tigers completed their first three-game series sweep in 3 years, first time since 2016. And the big star of the week, Ryan Shreve, continues to get bigger and bigger. He was named the National Collegiate Pitcher of the Week by the National Collegiate Baseball Writers Association for his no-hitter last Sunday against Santa Clara. Shreve Eck is named in the history books with Pacific, the masterful no-hitter, the 6'6" right, the 6'6" right-handed pitcher, faced 28 batters and retired only 27 of the 28 hitters, allowing just one runner on base with a hit by pitch. Other than that, Shreve was perfect, struck out 9, a new career high for strikeouts in a game, following by that hit by pitch in the bottom of the fourth inning. He retired 16 straight batters on his way to his no-no. He threw 109 pitches, 78 of the 109 went for strikes. The no-hitter assured a 1-0 victory in a series sweep over the Santa Clara Broncos. He's the first player from the West Coast Conference to pick up the honor this year, and just the 7th from a mid-major program to be named NCBWA Pitcher of the Week. Pacific Junior Righties share the award was St. Louis, also was by St. Louis Cody Luther, who threw a no-hitter versus St. Bonaventure on Saturday. Luther threw the first full 9 innings and walked 2 in a 5-0 win. He struck out 11 batters with 108 pitches, and 74 of them went for strikes. Oregon's junior shortstop Spencer Steer was named the National Player of the Week. Steer batted 474, 9 for 19, with 3 home runs, 12 RBIs, 6 runs scored, leading Oregon to a 3-1 win, an important road victory against nationally ranked and Oregon State, or the current defending national champions, who won it all last year in the College World Series. Shreve's no-hitter was the first for Pacific since D.J. Holton did it back 18 years ago in 2001. His masterful work on the mound earned the Tigers a series sweep over the Broncos and handed them their 11th loss in 12 games, first 12 games in the WCC. Shreve's no-hitter is just the 4th in school's history, has already garnered him honors for this week, and was named West Coast Conference Pitcher of the Week on Monday in its contention to earn the D1 Baseball Golden Spikes Performance of the Week, voting ongoing later that morning through social media. To vote for a USA Golden Spikes or Pacific Baseball, look for a tweet to vote on, or click here. The Tigers will be, and this is going to be a very important series for the Dons. This is how it's going to be for the lineups, or how it's going to be set up, the slate. Of course, the Pacific Tigers are now in their 6th season in the West Coast Conference since leaving. Originally were then in the Big West Conference. As we look at it, this is their 6th season joining the WCC. This is an important 3-game series for both teams. As we look at inside the numbers, and it's going to be a good one. For taking a look at the starters for Game 1 will be Riley Ornito, who comes in with a 5-3 record with a 0.96 ERA. He'll be on the bump for game one for San Francisco. Then in game two, it'll be him and Lucas Sweeney. Game two will be Scott Parker against Hayden Pierce in the second game. Pierce comes in with a 3-0 record with a 1.69 ERA. Game three will be Ryan Shree, the junior right-handed pitcher. He has a 4-2 record with a 2.18 ERA. He has 47 strikeouts in 62 innings pitched. So, looking at some of the stats, some good ones, led by head coach now Ryan Garko, the former Stanford Cardinal star and former San Francisco Giant, had a stint with the Giants back in 2009, a decade ago. Tiger pitching had been outstanding this year. The staff ranks in the top 100. Walks per inning, 37th. A walk strikeout ratio, 2.34. ERA, 4.06. They have two shutouts. And hits allowed, 8.19. And then Shreve leads the club with his complete games. And then third, Shreve have a fifth and a whip, 0.76. 25 starts, and then and Nick Swanson, their closer, their fireman in the bullpen, he has 5 saves, 81 appearances, 5, and then Shreve leads the ERA 2.18. So they also have the twin killings. The Tigers turn into the prominent double play threat in the middle of Pacific. They have turned 30 this year, good for 35th most in the nation. In the double plays per game, the Tigers are 47th in the nation, averaging 0.83 in a contest. And this, of course, this is Ryan Garko's second year. They're led by head coach, former Major Leaguer Ryan Garko, former Stanford and San Francisco Giants player Garko, and also played with the Cleveland Indians. He has helmed a program this year. His staff helped guide the Tigers to a 4-win improvement overall and a 5-win improvement in the West Coast Conference. In 2019, ushers a new season as well as Garko's first recruiting class, which looks to make a mark this coming season. And that just shows you right there that it's not going to be very easy for San Francisco the rest of this way. They're on the road this weekend for the Easter week series. Then they're back in 1 week from Friday. They'll play the regular full weekend series against Gonzaga up in Spokane. And then they won't return. Their next full weekend homestand won't be until that will be coming up. That will not be till Friday, May 3rd. So we got a lot of baseball action. We got a game Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're going to give you the game on Arena Sportsnet Bay Area, the audio version for Thursday night. And then we will end up after that. We then we'll give you the non-conference game on Monday. That will be on Monday when the USF Dons, they will take on the UC Davis Aggies up at Dobbins Field in Davis. That will be the Monday, April 22nd. That will also be on the Arena Sportsnet Bay Area audio cast, but the pregame show will be, the video version of it will be at 2:15. We'll go on the air live from Dobbins Field at approximately 2:20 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So, we will, when we come back, we will have our, and also, as we continue with the West Coast Conference schedule, here's also the slate what's going on this Easter week of the three-game series. Loyola Marymount, they'll be out at Luis Guisto Field in Moraga. They'll take on the St. Mary's Gales, and kind of a must-win series for the Gales, trying to bounce back for that really heartbreaking series lost on over the weekend, getting swept. BYU will be out of conference. They'll be taking on the Washington Huskies from the Pac-12 conference. There'll be a three-game weekend set, or they'll be playing up there near Seattle. They'll be up there taking on the Huskies. Then Gonzaga will take on the Santa Clara Broncos. They'll be traveling down to take on the Santa Clara Broncos, who have lost 6 in a row, 6 of their last 7 non-conference games. Home games in conference play. They've on a 6-game losing streak at home in the WCC. Pepperdine will have a bye week. They'll be off. And then the Portland Pilots will travel to Fowler Park in San Diego to take on the San Diego Toreros in San Diego. Well, when we come back, we'll have our final, interview with Deb Peralta. Deb Peralta is the woman you've probably seen on the hilltop, and she has done some great community. We're talking about the Autism Awareness Day. We sat down with her recently doing one of the non-conference games. We were supposed to do it during the game against St. Mary's. We're going to do it after the game, but due to the long game, we just were so exhausted. So we ended up sitting down with Deb Peralta, and we're going to have a great, nice chat about the awareness of autism. And she had been part of the program. This is her 16th year. She's also the auntie of former USF Don, Danny Morales, who played on the hilltop for the Dons from 2004 to 2007. He was part of the Dons' first West Coast Conference championship team and part of the program's first ever trip to the NCAA regionals and as an at-large bid back in 2006. We'll be right back, and we'll take this quick timeout, and we'll let you listen to that interview with Deb Peralta, and then I'll have my final thoughts, closing notes, right after this. You're listening to USF Don's weekly magazine podcast on anchor.fm/ASN Bay Area. Arguello Market, home of the famous Dutch Crutch Turkey Sandwich. Arguello Market's located at 782 Arguello Boulevard between Arguello and Cabrillo Streets in San Francisco. Visit their Arguello Market, proud partner of USF Don's Athletics. USF would like to thank the following partners for their support of Don's Athletics. Coca-Cola, the official soft drink, and Powerade, the official sports drink of USF Don's Athletics.
Well, we're here on USF Don's Weekly Magazine. We're going to talk to one of our next guests who is no stranger on the hilltop. She's been a part of the Don's family for the last 14 years. This is her 15 years since 2004. She's also the baseball mom and the godmother of former USF Don's catcher and pitcher, or his auntie is a Danny Morales, who played here on the hilltop, was part of the first team that won the WCC title and the first ever trip to the NCAA bid regional in 2006 and at large bid. Deb Peralta, how you been?
I've been great, V-Dog. Thanks for having me.
Well, you guys, we normally would have done the interview a few days ago, but we had the Autism Awareness Day. It came and went on. But we were going to do the interview, but due to that long length of that game last Sunday, it was kind of a very emotional.
That was an incredible baseball game that my players played for Autism Awareness. They haven't lost a game for me yet. This is my seventh one, and they're keeping the winning streak alive.
Yeah, speaking of winning streaks, also people forget Riley Helen had a perfect 4-for-4 at the plate, though, and then Winkler hit the walk-off double. But the game itself, it was like coach getting tossed, and it was for the first time. This is our third full year, as we're beginning our third full year of the renovated Benedetti Diamond. The crowd was really into it, and they were firing off. They were firing off like torpedoes and in like the killer bees or the killer hornets, though.
It was a battle zone out here. No one left that game early. As soon as Coach G got tossed,
it was like, bring it.
Bring it, exactly. That fired up the players even more, and it did for the families and fans that are out here. I mean, I was screaming at that ump, and I have not done that in my 16 years of being up here.
Well, and I've been here for my 21 years here. I kind of, you know, usually I've been back and forth in the press box, but, you know, getting the photos being, had to be multitasking and catching all the moments, though, getting that moment right when Coach got tossed. And for the record straight, a couple other former Diamond Dons, Brian Zani and Johnny Noble, and Jeff Menard said some pretty good things I posted on there where I showed the pictures of. But let's get to the main part. It was Autism Awareness Day over the weekend, though. Let's tell us more about that. This is the seventh one.
Yes, so I have two wonderful sons that are on the autism spectrum, and being Team Mom and having this wonderful platform, you know, with Coach G's assistance, I was able to have my 7th annual Autism Awareness Game here at Benedetti Diamond. And USF Baseball, they are the program itself, they are so inclusive. All of the players know about autism when they get here. They all learn that. They learn that from being around John, from being around my two sons, and the compassion and patience and love that they have for John and for my sons and for the kids that came here for the Autism Awareness Game is wonderful. You know, as a parent, you know, it's somewhat difficult for us at times when we're out in public places, you know, first of all, safety issue.
Oh, yes.
We love
one. Safety. Number
yes.
One uno numero.
Absolutely. And, you know, here there's only one way in and one way out.
Yeah.
I know that my kids aren't going to get out, you know, and, you know, not everyone is inclusive. And to see the way these players are throughout the years with John, it's beautiful to see. And every time I see John Hammonds, our big super fan, every time I see him, I'm reminded that my sons are going to be good too.
Right.
You know?
John reminds me of that one giant fan. She passed away several years back, who used to be always hanging out in the clubhouse. She was an elderly lady. I think her name was Marge or something like that. That's what John reminds me of.
You know, not letting his different abilities stop him from living his life to the fullest.
And yours truly as well.
Yes. And, you know, the boys, they do more than just play baseball. They spend their off personal time with John. And I think that's beautiful. That's just incredible. And that shows it's just not for show while they're here. That shows it's really coming from their hearts. And that's one of the amazing things about the USF baseball program here.
Yeah, I mean, same thing with, I mean, I came here in 1999 as a 22-year-old, was in this, construction art program. And I said, I'm not going to be doing this too much longer. I was coming here part-time after I did that program where they do all kinds of painting, all kinds of labor work. I this was not my fit. Once it closed down, because a lot of people wasn't coming, then I just said, I'm going to be reporting for the team on a full-time basis, and this is what I should have been doing in the first place. And I think the timing was right because the team was going through a lot of transition, and like this was like about almost 5 years before you came here. A lot of the players who was there, like Tag and Jason Howard and those guys, almost around my age, I could relate. And then once that new group, guys like for like Armand Garland, Kevin Rose, and those guys, the list, Derek Tate, and them, I'm almost like a big brother to those guys because I know what it is. And because a lot of those players who were there when they went to the postseason, and Stefan and Danny, a lot of them were around my little sister's age, so I could relate. And I always told them, and Joey Raylan, those guys, I always told them, you know, you guys do what you guys do, but don't do something crazy. It's going to ruin our chance to go to postseason because these things do not happen every now and then. And I told them, if something goes down, pack y'all stuff up and just get out of there ASAP. That's what a true leader, by my experience, exemplifies that.
I agree with you. And it was really beautiful to see some of my OG baseball players come back, like John Norfolk, Zach Kim.
They were in the ballpark over the weekend.
Yes, and Cy Donald.
When John was here, give me flashbacks. Oh, when he hit the walk-off two-run home run. And it was the first time, by the way. First time since 07.
Yes.
14 years ago.
Yes, yes. I remember that game. Whoa, that was so incredible. That was so incredible.
Yep.
You know, lots of wonderful baseball players have gone through this program. And, you know, I'm so blessed to be a part and to play a small part in these baseball players' lives. I mean, being Team Mom, you know, is here. I thought I was bringing some mama love and hugs and
yep.
being there for them, because we all know boys are mama's boys, and when they get here as baby face freshmen,
yours truly though,
you know, yeah, see, there you go. And so Here I thought I was giving something to them, and it turns out they were helping me too.
I have to be one because, you know, my mom gave me all kinds of doing the, I think for a lot of them who for this, these guys, I tell them stories like, well, you know, my birthday's at the end of between Christmas and New Year's, and you know, during those years when the Niners were in their glory years, they make those runs to the Super Bowl. I'd be getting a lot of new Niners stuff for the playoffs. And for the last gift I get for the year, not for my parents, is when the Niners win that Super Bowl. I get some Giants stuff, though, too.
Yeah, no, those were the good old days back in the 49ers. I don't think we'll ever be there again. That dynasty, you know.
I think they will, but that's another topic, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's something I'll do when I do my other thing over at NinersRadio.com during football season. If you ever want to come on, we'll talk about that then. But the present thing is, what's the final outlook, your outlook going down towards the stretch as we get in this in conference play?
You know, I think if our pitching, continues to be strong, and our offense, you know, Jack Winkler stepping up, RJ Cordero, you know.
Had a big home run over the weekend.
Absolutely.
And then Emery making two. Two great plays at the plate, and we got that run back from when the umpire stole from us.
Yeah.
He hijacked from us, though.
Yeah.
Hijacked,
He handled it well.
No, the whole team handled it. You didn't see him go pop up, and you know, because you don't want that. You don't want to get bounced for your stupid. If someone's gonna get thrown out, it's gonna be the head coach.
And that's what Coach G did. He went to bat for his players.
Exactly. That's what Bobby Cox did. All the great managers and Boach, and why those guys are in the Hall of Fame. But give us more information about the autism thing, though.
Okay, so the Autism Tree Project Foundation is based in San Diego.
Love San Diego.
Yeah, and they have a baseball player mentor program down there at San Diego with Coach Hill and his players. And I hope to bring it up here to USF and my players. They do all kinds of things for kids just getting diagnosed. They're about providing services free of charge for families to get their young children evaluated early, because early intervention is key. And so they help the foundation helps so many low-income families, as well as, you know, families that are well-off. It's all inclusive, and they do great work up there. And they're so slowly starting to work their way up north.
Right.
They do some work in San Jose with San Jose State. They have a football player mentor program there where they connect kids with autism with the football players at San Jose State, as well as their baseball players.
Yeah.
And so,
hey, Jeff Ray Kerr, one of the Braves, former Braves players, was the autistic, though, too. One of them.
I gotta find that.
It may be him, it may be someone else, but he was in a similar situation, though, too. I think the thing is, don't let autism take yourself down, you know.
Exactly.
You can't.
Yeah.
I know it very well, you know. I played this guy. I mean, I was more of a bench player, but I kind of do my role on the bench, though. But I didn't care about the starting to get the stats. I'm there just to be happy to win games and win championships at the end of the day. That's what matters, though.
Exactly. And the more and more so. So next year, I'm going to do something different. Instead of calling it autism awareness, because I think we're pretty much all aware about autism. Now, with the stats being higher, we all know somebody who has autism. We all
right.
do. Everyone does now. And so I think next year, I'm going to change it to my autism acceptance baseball.
Okay,
program.
That's I agree.
Because it needs to be accepted now. Think inclusively. We need to educate the world about autism and help them help our children and adults.
All right.
Because, you know, our kids are going to grow up to be adults, and then what's going to happen to them then?
Yeah.
So it's important for parents and family members and friends whose lives are touched by autism to start educating and start teaching people how to use the right verbiage.
Right. All right, we got to wrap it up, though. It's getting close towards game time, though. Deb, thank you for being on. And check that out, though, for the autism awareness thing. It's a good cause, though. Thanks, Deb.
Thank you, B-Dog.
Thank you.
That's Deb Peralta, the baseball mom. I'm Brad, Professor B. Davis. You're listening to the USF Dons Weekly Magazine Show
on anchor.fm/ASN Bay Area. We'll be right back right after this.
Well, that's going to do it for this week for the USF Don's Weekly Magazine Show. I'd like to thank everybody on for listening again. We'd like to thank Deb Peralta being our special guest. Did a fine work with the autism for the kids. A great time. In case you missed it last Sunday out there at the ballpark. And by the way, the Dons have never lost a game when they had autism aware to stay on the Hilltop. And this was completed the 7th year of that. And the Dons sweeping the series over the St. Mary's Gales on the Hilltop. And also thank you, Dr. Z, Dr. Zach Zangler, our USF Dons baseball analytics, in our segment recapping the series against St. Mary's and previewing the Pacific Tigers. You can catch all the action as the Dons take on the Pacific Tigers over at Client Family Field this week, Thursday and Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. The games will be seen on the W.TV. We're going to give you the Friday or the Thursday night broadcast, audio cast, on the Arena Sportsnet Bay Area. In the meantime, thank you for listening. For the latest news on Dons Athletics, go to usfdons.com. That's it for now. I'm Brian Professor B. Davis, and thank you for listening to USF Dons Weekly Magazine Show on anchor.fm/ASN Bay Area. Dons Magazine Weekly Magazine Podcast is an association with Urea Sportsnet Bay Area.